Hello, all you silly shitheads, and welcome to another episode of Shitty Song of the Week. I'm your host, Red. Joining me tonight is a very special guest. One who made a name for himself and inadvertently set a precedent here at Shitty Song of the Week with the infamous Blue Pants debacle. You know him as the undercover brother. I like to call him Mish from the Bromigos podcast. What's going on, buddy?
Pump your fist if you feel me. Holler if you hear me. Undercover brother in the motherfucking house. It's good to be back on the show with you, Red.
All right. Before we get started, make sure to go over to shittysong.show where you'll get links to the social media, the Patreon, the voters poll, and everything else Shitty Song of the Week related. Also, while you're over there, you can join the new Discord server that Shitty Song of the Week has. Just go to your internet browser, type in Discord, search Shitty Song of the Week, come hang out. You can submit songs, you can chat, and just hang out. I'll put the Discord link in the show notes. So now that all of the office and paperwork's out of the way, Mish, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm here for my revenge. What has it been, 2.5, 3 years in the making?
About 2.5 years, yeah, ever since Blue Pants that broke the show. Broke the fucking show.
I don't remember why it broke the show. You have to educate me on this a little bit.
All right. So we actually used Blue Pants now as a benchmark for what's allowed on Shitty Song of the Week to this day.
What? We broke the show?
I swear to God, dude. So the whole thing was that Blue Pants didn't really have... There's criteria to bringing songs to the show, right? It has to be at least 2 minutes long, 2.5 minutes, right?
Okay.
It has to have actual fucking lyrics. Song structure, chorus, verse, chorus, outro, that kind of shit, right? Blue Pants broke the show, Mish.
You did not tell me this? We've been talking for 45 thing. Minutes.
It's been a thing for 2 fucking years.
I haven't been paying attention, clearly. I've been fucking doing my own shit. Red.
Yeah, dude.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine, dude, because it's completely fine because now we have like a not a physical card, but we'll throw a Blue Pants card up. You know how soccer has like a yellow card,
yes,
red card.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have a Blue Pants card. You can't use that song. It got Blue Pants.
You know, it's funny because it was either going to be Blue Pants or the Isaac Yankem theme song. We did wrestling themes because what was it? Isaac Yankem was just a drill with like some beat over it.
Yeah, because me and Brandon bought Bertha Faye, I think.
Yeah, Bertha Faye.
Yeah.
I remember it like yesterday.
Yeah, dude.
But so, that was like one of the closest votes you guys ever had, right?
It was. There were a lot of fucking people upset that Blue Pants didn't make it through and that we used Blue Pants as a fucking benchmark. There are
Present company
day,
included.
To this day, people are pissed off about the whole Blue Pants debacle. But it has set a precedent, and now we use that song as a benchmark for what's allowed on the show.
Well, to the people that support the fact that we should have won, I appreciate you. Thank you very much. To the people that voted Bertha Faye, go fuck yourselves.
All right, fair enough.
Love y'all.
Fair enough. But we're not doing any kind of Blue Pants or Bertha Faye tonight. I think we landed on R&B, I believe is what you chose, right?
Yeah, you know, as the undercover brother, you know, my role on the Bromigos is kind of like the white boy down for the culture a little bit. And you reached out to me about the show and I decided to choose R&B to see if we could find any actually bad R&B songs out there. So I wanted to challenge myself a little bit as well as, well, I don't think I need to challenge you because your music knowledge is far more extensive than mine is. But yeah. I wanted to challenge myself to see if I could find a bad song.
That's debatable.
And I think I got it. I think I'm good on this one. I think I have a good shot.
As long as it has structure.
It has structure.
It has a chorus. It has a verses. It has, you know, intros and outros. And it has music and all that shit. We're good.
Well, not knowing the precedent that was made, yes, I have all of that.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So I think we decided pre-show that you were going to go first.
Yes, I'm going to go first for this one.
Okay. All right. So how long did it take you to find your song, man?
A good hour or so. I've kind of been like doing a little bit of research all the last couple of days since you asked me to come on. But like as far as like extensive, it took me a good hour or so to like really narrow down what I wanted to do.
Yeah, we, I think we talked about this a few minutes ago before we started. Every now and then I like to challenge myself because I do know a little bit of music. I've been around for 44 years now, so my music taste is all over the place here lately. But every now and then I like to challenge myself, and I will scour the internet and do my due diligence and look for terrible music, you know, instead of just pulling something out of my Rolodex or whatever. And I landed on something that I wasn't aware was a thing. I knew about the artist, but I didn't know that this song existed. And I, we have a thing on the show. Most of the time, whenever somebody, me, Brandon, Teresa, or any guest, it's normally a lyrics versus music kind of thing. You know, some people will have problems with the lyrics. They're shitty. Some people will have a problem with the mix and mastering or the beats of a song or the guitar parts or something, you know?
Yeah.
For me, this is a lyrics song for me, the song that I have. So, well, yeah, I guess you could say it's a lyrics thing. I mean, it's been around, and this song's 14 years old, cat out of the bag here, so it's not brand new or anything like that.
So this came out, so if we're talking 14 years ago, so 2010 this came out.
2009 is what my notes say.
Yeah, 2009, that's fair.
Yeah, yeah.
My song, you mentioned, like, you know, your issues with it. This, the song I have is kind of like a composition deal. It's like, I hate the beat and I dislike how the lyrics are sung.
Okay.
More than anything.
All right.
So it's to the point where as I was doing my research, I couldn't even get through the full song.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. Those are tough, man. Those are tough.
Yeah.
We like to call ourselves gluttons for punishment around here. When we have to push through a shitty song, then we have to make it work. We have to push through it. We're gluttons for punishment.
Well, the last time I was here, I was part of a BDM podcast, a BDSM podcast. So I guess you could say I was a glutton for punishment today.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. So what you got, buddy? What you got
tonight? I have a song. It's called Do It To Me Good Tonight by a gentleman named Michael Henderson. This song came out in the 80s. And I just... let me see if I can get an exact year. 1 second.
Good. Oh, wow. So this is old school.
Oh, yeah. This is 80s, man. I was actually like shocked that there was I didn't even know R&B existed in the 80s, to be honest with you.
Mm. Oh, R&B has been around way before the 80s, bro. Come on.
I know. I mean, I know. But like, I'm white. Look at me. Like I said, your music knowledge is more extensive than mine.
Dude, I'm the biggest peckerwood there ever was. I'm the whitest. I'm the whitest guy you know. I promise.
I mean, I know. But let's see. When did the song come out? It came out in 86.
Oh, okay.
And I have never heard of this gentleman in my life until today, and I really wish it had stayed that way. And now, when I was searching for this song, I was like figuring out when, like who to pick for as a song. Right. And apparently this guy has some good songs. Like someone on Prince.org. This is where I got the song from.
Okay.
It said, this is the same Michael Henderson who sang the lovely You Are My Starship in 1976. The same Michael Henderson who delivered a true funk classic in 1980 with Wide Receiver. Apparently, by the mid-80s, he had nothing else to give because this song is terrible. A vapid, light pop flop single that is best forgotten. This is not my words. This is written by someone else. This is what determined how to pick the song.
It sounds like it's right up the shitty song of the week alley, my friend.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
So let's get this thing pulled up and look at some visuals here. Ooh. That motherfucker looks like a Chinese Carl Winslow.
He does, doesn't he?
Wow. Okay.
Look at that stash, man. I know it was the 80s and all,
but goddamn. It's got what's the movie? Big Trouble in Little China? Lopan? He's got that Lopan mustache going on.
Shit.
Oh, yeah. All right. Man, the artwork and the photography in the 80s was second to none, man.
You know what that shirt looks like to me?
Bill Cosby?
No, it looks like a painting that was in my grandparents' house. Okay. That and how the lettering is kind of worked out. The scratchiness of it looks like a crayon or whatever. It reminds me of a painting that was in my grandparents' house. I shit you not.
So you know this album was probably good because it's called Bedtime Stories. There's some sultry shit on that album, Mish. Holy shit.
The song is Do It To Me Good. So, I mean, I would think it's just because there might be some sultry shit doesn't mean that sultry shit is good.
Oh, no. Half of the discography of somebody like Luther Vandross is terrible. But he had the most sultry voice. He could drop panties like nobody. But everybody's got a turd in their discography. And I guess this is Mr. Michael Henderson's turd here. This song is called Do It To Me Good Tonight. All right, so I'm going to press play on this thing. So you stop me when you want to talk or stop me when you want to...
I'll give you the thumbs up.
All right. Here we go. This is Michael Henderson with Do It To Me Good, parentheses, Tonight.
I want to die already.
I don't wanna hear about the crazy times you had.
Oh my lord.
Who you know in Hollywood and the Grammy you didn't win. I'm from the old neighborhood. Yeah, I do your bad.
What the fuck have you done, man? Holy shit.
Came for my revenge. That's what I thought.
Wow. All right. Yeah.
What?
I mean,
what is this?
That qualifies, brother. That's what that is. That's a qualifying song for Shitty Song of the Week right there.
I feel like there's no effort into these vocals at all. Like, I feel like he's just like, he has it in front of him and he's already kind of phoned it in. Like, the beat sounds straight 80s. Like, that's the that's the cheesiest, most novelty part of it, is the fact that this is definitely a song you'd hear in the 80s.
Yeah, this has like 80s porn vibes.
Oh, yeah. Like, that beat alone is definitely like some sort of upbeat porno or something.
If this was just the just an instrumental, that I could see that music on any 80s porn ever.
Oh, yeah. Continue. Continue.
Man, okay. You did good, sir. You did good. All right, here we go.
Kisses on the sofa, but we never brought the morning. Promise me again, yes, do it to me, do it to me good tonight.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Was that a Michael Jackson in there?
I don't know if I heard. Did you notice the beat's kind of slowing down a little bit?
A little bit. It's picking up a little bit, dude. I don't know, man. This thing's... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I can see where you're coming from with the chorus. Like, the chorus is catchy. Like, I'm not going to deny that.
Right.
But the first verse was not doing it any favors. Like, it's so bland that up until the chorus, I feel like right now is saving the song. It has to.
Yeah, if this is a bad one, imagine what the good ones sound like.
Oh, yeah. Like, apparently this guy is, like, a big name time frame. So, I don't know. Like, if this is one of his worst songs, I can only imagine what the good ones were like.
Yeah, so right now, at this very moment, it's not, like, the worst thing I've ever heard, but obviously it could be better. I mean, it's obvious this song is not good by any means necessary here, Mish. All I'm saying is that chorus is a redeeming quality.
I'm inclined to agree a little bit, but there's that slowing down of the beat that's killing me a little bit. I'm just like, why just keep it consistent? Maybe it's the recording of it, like, coming through the screen, right. But it definitely sounds like it's slowing down in some regards.
Now, I do match have, something. Right, now I do have somewhat of a love for 80s music. I grew up in that time period, and that nostalgic sound and that synth and shit, I have a soft place for. You know what I mean? That's the era I grew up in. But for 1986 or whenever you said this came out, the mixing or the production of this song doesn't sound completely terrible. It's just the beat that was chosen for the song. Whoever put the beat together wasn't a good beat maker. But as far as the mix and mastering production quality of this song, it's not completely terrible, in my opinion.
No, I'm inclined to agree. And like I said, my biggest problem was the composition of how it all came together. Mm-hmm. Not so much in the sense where it's like, oh, the production sucks, but the beat and the lyrics together, to me, just do not mesh well at
all. Yeah, he's definitely phoning this one in, for sure. This is probably just song filler for an album somewhere, you know?
Yeah, and even the woman, I just like, the woman involved in the chorus is kind of like, that's another somewhat redeeming quality, because I feel like you need to have another voice in this case. But even then, I don't even think you need to have her.
Well, really, whenever I first heard her come up in the chorus, whenever the chorus first started, I was like, damn, that sounds like, or it could be like Cyndi Lauper or Madonna. This could be that beat that song has that Cyndi Lauper, Madonna kind of sound to it. So to put somebody in the background, you know, that kind of can carry the song a little bit was a smart choice. I mean, because like you say, songs like this need that female harmonizer in the background.
Which is fair. And if anything, now you say that, they probably could have gotten Madonna or Cyndi, and they could have turned this into a hit, honestly. Yeah, they could have.
He just picked the beat up and bought it before they did. That's all that happened.
Really? That's honestly what... Well, I mean, like, as like a... What was it? Like a combo of the two. Like him and Cyndi or Madonna on the track as that backer. Yeah. So like that could have turned this song into a hit, in my opinion. But I don't even think
absolutely.
Enough of a redeeming quality.
Yeah, Michael Henderson featuring Cyndi Lauper, this song would not be on the show right now.
Exactly. No one would talk about it the way we're talking about it.
Right. Yeah. All right, here's some more.
Here you got a chauffeur and a bodyguard,
Ooh, that was bad.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Lyrics here. This man is saying that his girl has got a chauffeur and a muscle man bodyguard. So, is that a flex for her through him? Like, I'm not sure why I'm having a hard time. Well, I'm having a hard time even comprehending some of the lyrics in this.
I can't comprehend it. Like I said, I stopped around this time is when I stopped listening to it because it was so bad. I'm sorry. Like around this point of the song is where I had to say, this is my choice. I can't listen to it any more than I need to already. So the next half of this song, I have no fucking clue what we're going to get.
Oh, so this is uncharted territory now, huh?
We are officially in uncharted territory, my friend.
Okay. All right. Well, we're almost halfway. And I'll go ahead and tell you, I'm on the fence with this one. It's like, so far, the chorus has saved it a little bit, but it's still terrible. So, it's really not up to either me or you. We'll get into that later. But yes. So far, I'm on the fence with it. Here we go.
What was that?
Wait just a damn minute here. Hold on.
All right. Uncharted territory. We're getting some decent stuff in here.
Hold on. Okay. So that drum fill was dog shit.
Yeah, that was bad. that was bad.
Okay. I will also say that this little, I don't know if we, just so you'll know what I'm talking about, so the listener will know what I'm talking about, that little Michael Jackson affect he puts on his voice at the end of some of his lines, that little thing he does, that's annoying as shit. Like only Michael Jackson and certain few artists from this time period are allowed to get away with that. You know what I mean? His voice doesn't seem to be strong enough to be able to carry that kind of affect on that voice like that. You know what I mean?
He's trying. It sounds like he's trying way too hard. And this is around the time Michael was already getting pretty popular, if not the most popular artist.
Yeah, Michael Jackson was a superstar by this point.
Yeah, so this is definitely a I gotta copy the biggest thing going right now type of mood from that little effect he's adding to his voice, which I can't get into it. I'm sorry. I think the woman's doing it too as well.
Yeah, it doesn't do his voice justice at all.
I already think his voice sounds weak in this song anyway. So it's the fact that he's now adding to something, he's now trying to attempt, we're going to call it an attempt to put it nicely.
It's not strong enough to carry the vocals that he's trying to put out. You know what I mean? Like he's trying to sing real strong and real straightforward and up front, and his voice just can't carry it, I don't feel like. But we're getting into, I'm going to back it up about 10 seconds. We're at 2 minutes now. I'm going to back it up about 10 seconds. Because
we got to hear that drum beat again. I need to hear that part again.
Well, let's go 145 because there's a guitar solo transition in here that I did not expect to hear a guitar solo in an R&B song, Mish.
Yeah, that confused the fuck out of me. I was like, keep in mind, I didn't listen to this part.
Right, yeah, we're in uncharted territory. It's fine, but you don't expect to hear a guitar solo in an 80s R&B tune, is all I'm saying. All right, so here we go. Let's get it back again. Here we go. Okay.
You know what that guitar solo sounded like to me? Now, correct me if I'm wrong. It felt like one of those guitars that had like the keyboard.
Sounds. I don't like know that what the, I don't know. I don't know what the correct terminology for that. I guess a guitar keyboard or keyboard guitar. There's a name for it, but I don't know what it is. I know.
But
exactly
it sounds
what
like that, right? About. Am I wrong in thinking this or not?
Oh no, it absolutely does. I was gonna say it sounded like the guitarist that usually showed up in Michael Jackson songs. I know I keep bringing up Michael Jackson, but that guitar tone sounds like something out of an old Michael Jackson tune. Now, having said that, I don't like the guitar tone in that song. It doesn't need an electric guitar. It's the synth or whatever that is making this beat fucking it up by itself. It doesn't need a guitar part to fuck it up even more. Now, having said that, being a guitar player myself, I don't think that was like the hardest thing to do, but it's not like a novice move either. You know what I mean? So, I feel like that was a safe guitar solo if we're going to pick apart the guitar solo at all. But like you say, I'm in agreement with you that I don't think that a guitar, an electric guitar of all things, needed to be, especially almost 45 second fill lead guitar part in it. I don't think that was necessary.
So, and here's my other thing with that. And maybe it's just because of how it's coming over the recording, but I don't think the guitar was that strong. It was not mixed that strong compared to the actual beat.
No, it feels like it was pushed to the back a little bit.
Yeah,
like
that's what I'm saying. You noticed that too then.
Yeah, if it was going to be, you know, a lead guitar part or, you know, something of the like, it needs to be a little bit more forward than it was. You know, if you've got a 45-minute guitar solo feel in this thing, push those up a little bit to the front where you can hear them a little bit better. You know, I just commented on the mix of this thing that I told you it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't the best. But
that part's not good, for
sure. That part's not good. No, that part's not good at all. We are closing in.
We still have a whole minute left of this.
Yeah, we're closing in on it. We're closing in on it.
I want to die. What the fuck is this shit? What have I done?
Fucking Carl Winslow over here.
Chinese Carl Winslow looking at
it. Chinese Carl Winslow, yeah. All right, here we go.
Come on.
I also love how slow kisses on the couch was a flex. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to make out on the couch tonight, baby. You're going to do it to me good tonight.
Hold on a second. There's a line that doesn't make any sense in this. What's with the neighborhood shit? Like, what does the neighborhood have to do with any of this?
He's from the old neighborhood. I'm assuming that means he's from the old school. So we're going to make out on the couch like we did back in the day.
I guess so.
He's from the old neighborhood.
The way that was placed in there did not, for me, I didn't pick up on that. Like, I'm glad you mentioned it, but I didn't pick up on that at all.
Yeah, I don't know what it's doing in the song.
It seems like a throwaway line, if anything.
Right, why you need to add that you from the old school in a love song. I don't know. It is kind of a weird move.
I mean, motherfucker, this is first base you're at here. You're not even inserting it yet. Like, this is first base. You're flexing over first base this entire song.
Yeah, you're making out on the couch, bro. That's it. That's all you're doing right now.
This is a Tuesday for anybody now.
Right. Oh, man. All right. We got about 40 seconds left.
Do we have to?
Yeah, might as well. We're almost done. Well, we're gluttons for punishment around here.
Yes, we are. So. We are.
All right. So here we go.
Fucking guitar.
Yeah, why?
I knew it was gonna happen. Oh, I'm so glad it's over.
I wish I had the self-confidence this man has. He thinks that he's singing the shit out of that song, and he's missing the mark every single time. Now,
it feels off key,
a little bit. Yeah, like he's almost there, but not really. I mean, now could I get up there and do that and make it sound like that? Probably not. It would be way worse than that. I'm not claiming to be a singer at all. All I'm saying is, aesthetically, to the ears, number one, like you say, it sounds off key. The whole entire time he's been singing, it sounds off. His voice just isn't quite strong enough to carry those wow kind of things that he's trying to do. Like, he's forcing the shit out of that vocally. And again, why put an electric guitar in this? Why throw it in right there of all things? Like, right there in that specific moment, why put it there?
You know what else I noticed too? Maybe, and this is just me, maybe not hearing it as well through the screen, but I feel like the woman gets lost halfway through the song. She's not as prominent as she was in that first chorus.
Yeah, you don't hear her as much, huh?
You don't hear her as well as you do in that first few minutes of the song there. Like, the second half, she completely disappears.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that till you made mention of it.
I kept, where's the woman's voice in this? Like, I'm sure it's there, but like we've been saying, like you complimented early on about the mix. I think the mix is completely off at this point now. From that guitar solo up until the rest of the song, it's completely just missing the mark.
You took the words right out of my mouth. When I said that the mix was 50-50, like in the beginning of the song, from then up until the guitar solo and from there on, it got considerably worse, right?
Yeah.
You know, with the back and forth and not putting the guitar part in front, even though it didn't need to be there, if you're going to highlight it, at least put that instrument up front. That's a check mark on the con list of the mix. The only thing I can say about it is the beginning of it, and that synth was mixed clean for to be 1986. That shit in the beginning was mixed pretty clean.
I'll give that to you. At most, I will give that to you.
But up until then, like you say before, like it gradually goes downhill after that, and even so, the girl's vocals just are non-existent. I didn't even pick that up until you said something.
I'm so glad I didn't listen to the... I'm so glad I stopped after right before the second chorus. I'm so glad I stopped. We are on the same journey together, my friend.
Wow.
If that got me to stop listening and I had to hear the rest of that for the first time, I don't know what the fuck you got for me.
Well, I mean, that was a valiant effort, dude. No lie. Like, that was a more solid entry than Blue Pants. Good job. Absolutely.
Well, Blue Pants was meant to fuck with you guys more than anything.
It absolutely did. It absolutely did.
And it completely changed the precedent of the show. But
it changed the entire way the show was even ran from now on. But that was a solid entry.
No shit. You guys still think I sang Blue Pants, by the way? Is that still a joke between everybody?
There is a few people that still think that Blue Pants is all you, dude.
It's not me. I know it ain't me.
All right. So, what I have is kind of old school like that, but not quite that far back into the old neighborhood, as Mr. Michael Henderson here just said. It doesn't go quite that far back. What I have is from 2009. So, Mish, how well do you know of Jamie Foxx's music career? How well versed are you in it?
I know this might not even be his song. Is he the guy that sang in that one video with his entire naked body in front of you and it just keeps zooming in and out, or am I thinking of somebody else?
You know, I'm not going to say that I'm well versed in Jamie Foxx's music career. All I'm saying is I found a song. I just didn't know how well versed you were in it. I don't know what you're talking about.
It might be a different artist, but I think, and I don't know why I know this, there's a song with Jamie Foxx in it. And it's a video of us. It's like the video. And he's like, I don't know if he's singing the song or limp syncing the song or what, but his entire body is completely naked. And they're not like, they're zooming out just enough where you see the top of the crotch. And then they keep zooming back into him. That's as much as I know about Jamie Foxx's music career, was the fact that that's a video that exists. I think.
I have no idea what you're talking about. So we'll know more about it.
We'll have to look it
up. Yeah, you know more about it, obviously, than I do, but that's okay. I don't know a lot about it either. I was just saying, you know, all I know is that I've heard his singing, and I know this motherfucker can sing, right? Mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, if you put Jamie Foxx in front of a piano and give him a song, he can play the shit out of it, and he can sing the absolute shit out of it. But I found a song from 2009, or 2008, I think, as the second official single from Jamie Foxx's third album called Intuition, Mish. This song features T-Pain.
Oh, God.
Do you like T-Pain?
I mean, apple bottom jeans. Isn't that T-Pain involved in the Flo Rida?
I'm pretty sure. Maybe. The only thing I know about T-Pain is that he auto-tunes the shit out of everything that he does.
But you know something? I've been seeing some videos about T-Pain out there that he sings the fuck out of some shit. There's been some videos out there recently.
He put out a cover album not too long ago, and he covers some country music, he covers some rock music, he covers a little bit of shit. And it's a palate cleanser, because when you hear the word T-Pain or the artist T-Pain, you immediately go to, it's going to be auto-tuned like a motherfucker, right?
Yeah.
Well, this song's got T-Pain in it, and guess what? It's auto-tuned like a motherfucker, okay?
Really?
Dude, this song is called Blame It. Some people will call it Blame It on the Alcohol, right? But this song won a BET award and a Grammy, okay? It was a hit number one on the Billboard Hot R&B Hip Hop charts. This song broke the record for the longest running number one song ever on the chart by a male artist. Believe that or not. This music video that I'm getting ready to show you was BET's number one music video for 2009.
Oh my God.
It's got numerous cameos in it by super hella famous actors like Jake Gyllenhaal, Forrest Whitaker, Ron fucking Howard, believe it or not, and Samuel L. Jackson. Now, he set this music video up like a movie, right? So there's intro credits and everything.
Oh, they did a really production style thing.
It starts off kind of slow, and then it builds right into it. Like, as soon as the music credits or the movie credits go off, then the song is going to start for you. But as I mentioned before, this thing is jam-packed full of auto-tune. I mean, riddled with it. Now, I will say, like I said before, that Jamie Foxx can sing. Matter of fact, he's got a few solo things on a stand-up comedy thing that he done one time that he played for the audience. This motherfucker can sing. It's some of my favorite stuff, but he don't need all that. Like, T-Pain can sing also. We've heard it in this little cover album thing that he put out not too long ago. We know this man can sing. He doesn't need auto-tune. Jamie Foxx does not need auto-tune on his vocals. This man can sing the fucking phone book if you let him. He doesn't need it. You know what I mean? But it's riddled with it, dude. I'm telling you, just so much auto-tune in this fucking song.
I find it funny that the auto tune is the problem in this song when the synth was the biggest problem in my song.
So what is the purpose of auto tune? Do you know?
I do not, actually. I always thought it was just for like a production effect of sorts. I don't know now, what the point of it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, like so there's a lot of uses for it. I don't know a whole lot about it. I know people that use it a lot in some of their music. I know personally people that put it in their music. It's a singing aid, if you will, in my opinion. This is what I think auto-tune is used for. It's a singing aid. Like, if you can't quite hit those A's and C's and D's in those chord progressions and the notes and the singing and all that, auto-tune helps put you there, right? And you can turn it up where it's real strong, or you can lay it back a little bit to where it's just there to make the song work, right? A lot of these rappers, fucking Lil Wayne uses it. Fucking T-Pain uses it.
Lil Wayne has abused it a lot over the years.
Yeah, they all abuse it and use it where it doesn't need to be used at all. I mean, you know, I know, everybody listening knows Jamie Foxx can fucking sing. Okay? Anybody listening, you might know if you've heard any of it, but this fucking cover album, I keep saying it, this cover album that T-Pain put out not too long ago, he doesn't have auto-tune on it. This motherfucker can sing a little bit. He don't need it. You know what I mean? So why use it? I don't like it. I'm not a fan of it. It's fucking terrible. It's stupid. If you can't sing, if you have to use something to help you sing, you don't need to be singing. You know what I mean?
But amen. I got nothing to add to that.
It starts off slow, then it builds up into the thing.
Okay? Oh, boy. We're going to be taken on a journey.
Yes. This is Jamie Foxx called Blame It, featuring T-Pain. So right off the bat here, Mish, Jamie Foxx is showing you how big his celebrity dick is.
Yes.
And how many others how many other celebrities he can put in one video. It's kind of annoying, really. Like, I don't give a fuck that you know all these people. We know who you are. We know you're famous. You don't need to show us how famous you are.
How much money did they pay these guys to show up for this video? That is what I want to know.
No idea.
You don't. Samuel Jackson is not taking pennies to be in this video. We know that much.
No, I mean, Forrest Whitaker hasn't been in a movie since I couldn't tell you when. I mean, this is 2009, but I haven't seen Forrest Whitaker in anything since 2009, I don't think.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And I was going to say this later on in the video because he shows up again, but what kind of fucking flex is it to have Opie Taylor, Ron fucking Howard in your music video? What kind of flex is that?
You're going to have to explain that to me. Who is Ron Howard?
Opie Taylor. Andy Griffith, the show? You remember the Andy Griffith show, right?
Oh, God, I don't think I've ever seen it.
Black and white show, Andy Griffith. It was a whole thing for old, like, boomers. It's an older show, right? I'm showing my age.
You're showing your age a little bit to me here.
A little bit, yeah. So Ron Howard used to play a little redheaded kid on the Andy Griffith show called Opie Taylor. And he grew up to direct movies. He's done a lot of stuff. He's in the movie... world real thick, right? But he's just a nerdy white guy. He's not anything. I mean, if you ask a boomer who Ron Howard is, they'll tell you who Ron Howard is. I'm a Gen Xer. I'm not really a boomer, but I know who he is. He's not a fucking flex to have in a music video. So why would you throw Ron Howard? I don't know. Hype Williams put the fucking music video together. Why are you putting him in there? I don't know.
I mean, they have Jake Gyllenhaal. They already have their token white guy for the video. They don't need another one. Jake Gyllenhaal is, you know, arguably, like, what was he, like, sexiest man alive at one point in time? Like, he's not a bad-looking guy. So it's like, some appeal in that regard. You don't need another white guy.
You don't need to fucking sling dick and show us all these celebrities that you know and show us that you're famous. You're Jamie fucking Foxx. You don't need to show us all that. But that's the music video. We do videos over here, do video episodes, but that's not what we're talking about here tonight. We're talking about the music here. So now comes the actual song. This is where the song starts at now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so here we go.
Blame it on the booze, got you feeling loose. Blame it on the drunk, got you been a gone. Blame it on the alcohol, blame it on the it. She says she usually don't, but I know that she front. Cause she already know what she want, but she don't wanna seem like she easy. I hear you saying what you won't do, but you know we're probably gonna do what you.
It doesn't need the auto tune.
My first thing in my notes right after that clip says verbatim, dude, why so much fucking auto tune?
The entire song I can pick up auto tune.
It's this song is 5 minutes and 11 seconds, Mish. It's auto tuned throughout the entire 5 minutes.
I don't think I'm going to make it. This is egregious. I thought what I had was bad. This is egregious with the use of auto-tune. And T-Pain's coming up soon? Oh, my God. Yeah.
I made this point before I ever played the song. Jamie Foxx could sing, you know. And I was getting ready to say that this song is at least produced well, you know. But oh, it is. Having heard, but having heard that little bit that we just heard, it's overproduced. It's produced too much.
Too much.
Way too many hands in it. I don't know how many people were a part of this song, but I'm sure it was more than a handful.
This
you know
is
what
such
I mean?
A
it, yin it was a room full of people.
This is such a yin and yang. Like mine was produced very poorly, and this one's just overly produced. Like I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah, the beat's obnoxious. That's fucking obnoxious as shit.
I knew it was gonna be obnoxious the second that fucking piano started. I was like, oh, here we go. Fucking the piano. Effect, oh, God.
The effect that they do with his voice and that stutter, that.
Oh, that. I almost fucking left the StreamYard studio. I was like, I'm about to quit right now. He wins.
It's dumb. It's dumb, right?
It's bad.
Now comes the chorus.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Here we go.
Why?
So, I haven't even mentioned anything about the lyrics yet, Mish. It's straight out of the Bill Cosby playbook, my friend.
Oh, it is. I can tell a little bit. There's a lot of references to drinking in there and banging women, and a lot of it is leading to getting that woman drunk and taking her back home and doing as you please. It's very very Cosby like.
Almost verbatim, dude. So I'm going to read you the first. Yeah, I'm going to read you the first verse, and then I'm going to read you the pre-chorus, and you tell me. You pretty much hit it on the fucking head, but check this out. So in the first verse, he says, A, she said she usually don't, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I know that she's fronting because Shawty knows what she wants. But she don't want to seem like she's easy. I hear you saying that you don't want to, but you know we probably going to. What you've been fiending deep inside, don't let it up now. Okay, that was the first verse. The pre-chorus says, fill another cup up, feeling on your butt, what? You don't even care now. I was unaware how fine you was before my buzz set in. Sounds like some Heathcliff Huxtable shit to me, Mish.
I have no words. I don't know what you want me to say. This song would not be released today. This song could not be released today.
You're getting me tooed right out of the fucking door.
It goes to show just how much society has changed from 2009 all the way to now. Because I am thinking the exact same fucking thing you're thinking. And I am not one to be like, oh, I'm offended about this sort of thing. But I know friends that have been assaulted in their time. And hearing those lyrics is really rubbing me the wrong way here.
You know, last year at some point before Shitty Song of the Year, I brought Robin Thicke and Blurred Lines to the show.
Ooh.
That show is riddled with fucking date rapey shit. Right?
Oh, that's that entire song. That he made a career off that one song. And it's literally a date rape song.
Yeah. So it goes to show you, like you say, that, you know, times have changed. You can't put a fucking song out like this.
When did
right
Blurred
now.
Lines come out? 2012, 2013?
12, 13. Yeah. Right after
even
this,
then, it was still like pretty, like.
Yeah.
I will say this until I'm blue in the face. After like 2010, 2011, music starts to go really downhill for me as an entire industry. And I don't say those words lightly.
Right.
Now you understand why I feel that way.
Oh, yeah, dude. When I fucking first heard this song, I was like, because, you know, I'm a fan of Jamie Foxx and his movies and his comedy. He's a funny dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, Django Unchained is one of the greatest movies ever made.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So I've heard him sing. I like the way he sings. He's got some soul. He's a, you know, he's a good singer. But then I find this shit and I'm like, dude, why sink that low? You don't need to. I'm not saying, you know, Jamie Foxx needs to sing gospel music or something. All I'm saying is, why stoop to this fucking level?
This is an attempt at a club hit. That's really all it is to me. This is an attempt at a club hit, and it's missing the mark, in my honest opinion.
Yeah. So here comes the second verse.
Oh, boy.
And the chorus again. And this is this chorus is where T-Pain comes in, and I think the second verse might be T-Pain as well. But here we go. See, she spilled some drink on me, and now I'm known she tipsy. She put her body on me, and she keeps staring me right in my eyes. No telling what I'm going to do. Baby, I would rather show you. What you've been missing in your life when I get inside. Girl, what you drinking? Gon' let it sink in here for the weekend. Thinking we can see what we can be if we press fast forward. Just one more round if you're down, I'm pouring. Fill another cup up, filling on your butt. What you don't even care now. I was unaware how fine you was before my bus set in. My bus set in.
I have no words for everything I just heard.
So the first part of that chorus I had a problem with. The chorus I have somewhat of, I mean, not a problem, but it stands out to me because it sounds like a Dr. Seuss book, Mish. Yeah. Blame it on the goose, got you feeling loose. Blame it on the throne, got you in the zone. Blame it on the vodka, blame it on the Henny. Blame it on the blue top, got you feeling dizzy. Sounds like a fucking Dr. Seuss book, man.
Yeah, I pick up on that. It's
that's some cartoon. Redfish. That's some redfish, bluefish shit.
Yeah. Cat in the Hat knows a lot about that. You know?
Right. Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I'm the Lorax. I speak for the trees.
Yeah. You get it. So yeah, you get it completely. So, so as you heard before the clip ended, it's T-Pain's turn now, and we're going to turn the auto-tune up just a little bit.
Just a little higher than it already was, right?
Just a little bit higher than it already was. So we had Jamie Foxx, you know, drowning in auto-tune for the first 2-3 minutes of this song now. T-Pain's going to turn up just a little bit.
Before you hit play, there's one thing I want to point out again. Ron Howard looks so out of fucking place in this.
Dude, he's the nerdiest white guy ever.
He looks so out of... See, this is what would happen if my friends took me to the club. I would be the Ron Howard. Now, I have a little bit more... I have a little bit more zest to me than that, but like, good God, he lifted up that drink and I'm like, you don't even belong in this fucking video. Like,
no, no. Now, if you noticed, if you paid attention to the video, there are a couple more cameos in there that didn't get mentioned in the beginning of the video. Tyrese is in this video.
I did not pick up on Tyrese. Wow.
Tyrese is in the video. Also, you used to do the porn podcast and the BDSM shit back in the day.
Show that shall not be named. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Are you familiar with Dancing Bear at all?
No, but you were talking about the panda bear?
Yeah. So there's porn out there where it's like a chick fucking party, like a dick party, like a sex toy party. You know how they do the sex parties with the toys and shit?
Obviously. All right.
There's a genre of porn out there, and it's called Dancing Bear, and it's a bunch of fucking like dancers, like stripper dudes, right? And they put on a fucking dancing bear head, and they dance around for these fucking women naked, and they get jerked off and blown and fucked sometimes even. But that... fucking panda bear. That's the first thing I thought about was the fucking dancing bear in the porn videos.
See, my brain goes to furry shit. You went into something I didn't even want to know about.
Oh, look it up, dude. Go to Pornhub and look up dancing bear. It'll bring up a shit ton of it, I'm telling you.
I ain't looking that up. It's going to be all over my fucking For You page on the Hub in the day. Right. I ain't here to fucking watch that. Hell no.
Anyway.
All right, now let's hear the egregiousness that is T-Pain. All right,
this is T-Pain. Here we go.
Girl, I know you feel good, just like you look. Couple more shots, you open up like a book. I ain't tripping,
cause I'ma read ya.
Shout it, I ain't tripping.
I just wanna please ya.
I'ma take a shot of the nouveau. Shout it in, you know what's going down. We can go and kick it like judo. You know what I mean. Shout it, got drunk, thought it all. So I made her say, ah, ah, ah. Now she got a hand on my legs. Got my seats all wet in my ride.
All over my
ride. She looked me dead in the eye. Then my pants got bigger. She already knew what to figure. Had her looking at her boyfriend like, ah, ah, ah.
So I don't know if he picked up on those lyrics or not, but a little bit. He mentioned that his girl got his seats all wet.
Oh, yeah, I know what that's referencing.
Yeah, so she's leaving snail trails in this motherfucker's car seats.
Is she wearing panties? Clearly.
I mean, it's cool that she's not wearing panties, and it's cool that she got wet, but bitch, don't leave snail trails all over my fucking nice leather seats. You know what I'm saying? Like, put a towel down or something. That shit's that's preposterous.
That's... This song is egregious. This was a fucking number one hit.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So they also censored a lyric in there. I don't know if you picked up on it or not. I could see through your fucking aviator glasses right there, Mitch, that you wanted to like that T-Pain part a little bit. You wanted to. Because I did. I wanted to like it. I swear to God, I did.
Listen, if it wasn't auto-tuned to death, that was probably the best verse of the song, in my opinion.
It flowed a little bit better, right? This is the silver lining of this song.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a censored lyric in this thing, and I don't know why they would censor it. I mean, it is one of the words that we can't say, right? So the lyrics go: she looked me dead in the eye, then my pants got bigger. So this motherfucker got a hard on, right?
Yeah.
She already knew what to figure, right? So she's fucking.
There's an N-word dropped in there, isn't there?
He's got a hard on right now, but the pants got bigger. What word rhymes with a bigger? had her looking at her boyfriend like, fuck that N-word. They censored that part. For what?
Whoa. They straight up went ER on that, though?
No, they use the AH, the light.
I was going to say, I mean, like, that's so weird though, because why would you censor that part and every other video on that website, which is YouTube, has that word?
Yeah. Now
I don't get it.
She looked me dead in my eyes and my pants got bigger. She already knew what to figure. Had her looking at her boyfriend like, fuck that N-word. But they bleep the fuck that N-word part out. Everything else in this song is allowed to be said, But
they took out the entire phrase "fuck that N-word."
Yep.
And this is a date rape, and this is a date rape song, and that's the one thing they censor. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, they censored that part, but never mind the date rape that's happening around the rest of the song. Never mind that part.
2009 was the Wild West. It really was.
So here's the chorus again. Now, then they finish Bolton, up. Right? Yeah. Oh, boy, both of them will come back. Yeah, so here's the chorus again. Then they finish up, believe this shit or not, Mitch, they finish up with a little bit of women's empowerment. After date raping the whole time, now comes some women's empowerment. So fucking weird, right? It's a weird choice.
Play it. I got to see this now. This is ridiculous. There's no way.
I'm telling you. Here we go. Ready?
That little empowerment line just killed the entire song for me. Not that the song was already on my good graces to begin with, but why?
Started off with date rapey and ended on some women's empowerment, like all the single ladies type shit.
Like, congratulations, you can buy your own bottles and say no to these bros trying to hit on you and do everything that we've been talking about that we're going to do to you in this video.
Like, we only pray. Congratulations,
you can say no.
Like, we only prey on the vulnerable bitches. We don't fuck with the strong, independent women that don't need no man. Get the fuck out of here with that dumb shit. Why would you... This whole song is perpetuating date rape. And then the very last fucking verse in this, you're going to say, you know, you can afford your shit, you go ahead and pop your bottles and fucking...
It's so counterintuitive. Come on. What's the tone of the song, then? Why did you not... That line didn't even need to be in there. It doesn't make any sense for the rest of the song.
The whole third verse didn't need to be there. This song is 5 minutes and 11 seconds long.
And that's not including the 30 seconds of... Wait, the entire song, including the first part?
The entire song is 5 minutes and 11 seconds. So if you took the first 30, 45 seconds out of the intro and the movie credits and all that shit, take that out of there, you're down to 4 minutes-ish, 4 minutes 15.
Even then, I still think it's too long.
Take that part out, and you got a 3 minute and 30 second song.
Yeah,
it doesn't need to be 5 minutes, man.
It really did not need to be 5 minutes long. Like, this was a march. This actually took a lot more effort to get through than, say, my song. And my song was bad, but that took a lot of effort to get through because we're fighting auto tune, egregious lyrics by today's standards, anyway.
Right.
And just a clusterfuck of what the identity of the song is. Yep. You can't just go, and I'm not condoning this, you can't just go date rapey and then go to women's empowerment because, we just realized that this song is a little date rapey. Here's something for all the ladies.
Right, yeah, all the single ladies.
It screams that, hey, we know that this is a song that is egregious.
You're telling on yourself already. Yeah, we know this song's fucked up, but... Here's some popping bottles for the fucking ladies that's handling their shit.
And not to mention that the video has the most awkward white guy I've ever seen in the club. Like, all due respect to Ron Howard. I don't know who he is, but like, come on, dog. Why? You could have gotten any other guy in there and it would have looked cool.
You got that guy. Yeah, Ron fucking Howard. Fuck?
He has his... Like, shave the top of the head, bro.
Fuck, he's balding for God. He didn't even comb his hair for the video, Mish. Look at his fucking hair.
I see it. Like, what the fuck? Like, come on. Like I said, you could have just stuck with Jake Gyllenhaal, or you could have threw in, like, Channing Tatum or some shit.
Right, yeah.
Channing Tatum was big in 2009, right? Like, come on.
Instead, you get this fucking pale, pasty, nerdy, fucking drunk looking motherfucker instead. That's it.
And then you got Samuel Jackson smoking L's in the fucking back of the club like nobody's business. Then you got Tyrese apparently around there somewhere, a dancing
Samuel L. Jackson. Samuel L. Jackson smoking those fucking clove cigarettes. That's what Samuel L. Jackson's smoking. But
it looked like
that
looked like a fucking no.
Like a blunt. Like a blunt. Yeah. I think Samuel L. Jackson's on those clove cigarettes or some shit. But yeah, man, that's Jamie Foxx and Blame It on the Alcohol. Featuring T-Pain and a guest appearance by Auto-Tune.
Guest appearance? I mean, it was the whole song.
Right, yeah, okay.
T-Pain, if anything, Jamie Foxx and T-Pain were the guests.
Guest appearance by this ugly motherfucker right here.
Jesus Christ, I can't look at it.
And you're making me hard right now.
Who the fuck said that?
That's Pat Oates, man. That's our good buddy Pat Oates.
Oh, my God. It sounded like Big Nick for a second. It sounded like something Big Nick would say.
Yeah, we had an R&B episode last year with Pat Oates. It was 112 and Next. I can't remember the name of the song. Too Close. Step back, you're dancing kind of close. Feel a little poke coming through. Oh, yeah, I know you know that song. Everybody knows that shit.
I don't think I do, but now I don't know.
Come on.
Oh, listen,
I didn't do it justice or anything, but
you didn't do any stupid
guy. Yeah, Pat Oates came on and it was a song about getting poked in the dance club by a hard on, right? That's what the song's about. And he made a couple drops and we stole them and I use it all the time. Man, so.
Very, very good sound bites to come out of that, I bet.
Yeah, man, he's a funny dude. If you don't know who Pat Oates is, check him out on YouTube. He's a funny
dude. I'd have to be introduced to him at some point in time.
Yeah, he's good. But, yeah, that's Jamie Foxx and T-Pain with Blame It on the Alcohol, Mish. That's about all I can do, man. I did my homework. I did my due diligence. I hope that I can come out victorious this week, but I don't quite think that's going
to
happen.
I think it's going to be close, to be honest with you. I don't know who's going to win. Both songs are bad. I'm of the opinion that both songs are bad.
Egregious. Oh, yeah. Well, that's why this show is called Shitty Song of the Week. So we bring shitty music to the show.
Oh, I know, but I'm
fucking with you. They're both shitty songs, no doubt. Right? It's the level of shittiness that we're competing with. Now, which one is everybody going to gravitate towards? Are they going to gravitate towards Jamie Foxx because they know who Jamie Foxx is? Or are they going to gravitate and play by the rules and vote for the Michael Henderson song because it's actually shitty song, you know what I mean? Like, people like to play on who they know and shit, man. So
I won't lie, there are times I have voted based on name value for shitty song. And I'm guilty of that, but guys, don't fuck me again. Use your heads,
right?
You know what's the better song, what the worst song.
Now, as far as production value goes, my song is probably a little bit better than yours as far as production value goes. Now,
overproduced, yes.
But it's got a lot more pluses in it than the Carl Winslow or what Michael Henderson song that you brought, right? But it's not up to us, Mish. It's not up to either one of us. We can sit here and argue about whose song was worse all we want to, but it's not up to us. It's up to the listener. To vote every week and bring forth the shitty song. So if you think that Michael Henderson and the Carl Winslow lookalike, Chinese Carl Winslow lookalike, Do It To Me Good Tonight on the Couch While We Kissing, or whatever the fuck that song was called, with the cheesy ass synth beats and the fucking guitar. Why would you put guitar in an R&B song? If you think that song was worse, vote for that one. If you think that Jamie Foxx and T-Pain and the auto-tune and the fucking date rapey women's empowerment, I'm not real sure where to go with that. If you think that one was worse, vote for that one. But
you know. I'll say this much, Red. Last time I was here, and like I said, we said, it was a few years ago now since the last time I was here. Yep. I would have talked shit about and said our choice was better. But today I'm gonna have to shake your hand and say I don't know who's gonna win this one. We both did each other dirty on this one, and I chose this topic for education on the culture.
Right? Yeah.
I didn't expect this kind of education.
Well, look, dude, when I do my homework, I do my damn homework, okay? If Teresa has taught me anything, it's to do your damn homework and know your notes and know what you're bringing.
I know T is going to reach out to me as soon as she hears this episode and be like, what the fuck? Shout out to you, T. Miss you, dog.
Oh, yeah, I try to be thorough, man. You know what I mean? I try to be thorough, and I try to bring something worse than I brought last week. Now, we're all over the place with the genres and shit, so we try to stick to the four basic food groups, rap, rock, country, and pop. You know what I mean? But we do subgenre a lot, and we do veer off the path some. You know what I mean? But for the most part, you know, the guests bring songs that people know and we bring songs that people don't know. And, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, this week, I don't really think that matters. I really don't think that, you know, Jamie Foxx being obviously way more popular and well-known than fucking Michael Henderson, I really don't think all that matters this week. I really think that the songs are going to stand on their own and stand for themselves. And I really think the true winner is going to be picked this week. I mean, it's going to be close, but I really think, I personally believe, it doesn't matter what I think, but I personally believe that your song is worse than mine, just for the production value of it.
I'm inclined to agree, but I think the fact that your song is so overproduced and the lyrics by today's standards are incredibly questionable might make it a closer fight than you and I both think it will be.
They normally always are, man. Here lately,
listen.
Here lately, they've been neck and neck. So it's
guys,
hard to tell.
Guys, it's been 2.5 years since you last fucked me. Vindicate me here on this one, though.
Hey, look, Blue Pants lives in infamy around here. And oh, it always will, and that's, you know, and that's fine. It's fine, you know. But you did way better this time.
Oh yeah, thank you. Thank you. Way better. That's also because I didn't have somebody taking my spotlight either.
Right, way better, way worse. I'm not really sure where to go with that one. Yeah, but
we know what you mean.
Yeah. Well, Mish, I believe that's about as good a place as any to wrap it up, buddy. I really appreciate you coming on and hanging out and going through some shitty R&B with me.
I appreciate the fact that you asked me to come on, because it's been, like I said, far too long since the last time I was here. I don't know why it took so long for me to come back.
Me either.
Well, let's hope that I can come here a little bit more frequently.
Say the word, buddy. Say the word.
Amen to that, my friend.
You got anything you want to plug before we wrap it up here?
As a matter of fact, I do. You can follow the Bromigos podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And just note to self, some of the things we say will probably offend you. But you'll still be entertained while we do it. That said, you can also follow me personally. I have a Twitter, which is private right now. But maybe when I open it back up, I'll let some people follow me again. It's realmatt0626. And you can follow me on YouTube, Edge0626, and same name for Twitch as well for gaming content. So,
excellent. Well, that about wraps everything up for this evening. Again, I want to thank you for coming on and hanging out. We have to do this again very, very soon.
Love you, brother. Thank you.
I enjoyed it. Hell yeah, absolutely. But as always, I'm Red.
And I'm Ish.
That's it. And until next time.
Head over to shittysong.show, where you can access past Shitty Song of the Year winners, where you can vote and see weekly poll results. If you'd like to support the show, sign up at patreon.com/SSOTW for the $5 shitbox tier. Every Sunday, you will gain early voting access and the video version of the show. Also, you'll get hidden tracks, shit blankets, and so much more.
Hey.
Reach out to us on Twitter at Shitty Song Pod, and join the Discord server to submit song suggestions, chat about the show, and hang out with us, guests, and other listeners. Blue Pants.